Welcome back to this week's episode of The Psyche Behind the Physique. I'm your host, Maddie Michelson. And if you're just tuning in for the first time today, welcome. We are so excited to have you joining us for this episode. If, however, you are a returning listener, then you would know that last week we discussed how you might be making things harder than they need to be, and in many ways, kind of thriving on that dysfunction that you're creating for yourself. If you didn't have a chance to listen, your opportunity is now. Pause this episode and go back and revisit it. But if you did have a chance to listen, then get comfy and get strapped in because today we are going full speed ahead on the topic of extreme ownership and self-accountability. I'm going to title this episode, You Own It. And in a few moments here, you're going to understand exactly why. But before we get there, I have to explain to you where the inspiration for this particular episode comes from. So this past week, I went on a family vacation with my dad and my sister to my dad's hometown of Watsonville, California. Granted, Watsonville isn't much. They had a Safeway with one brand of milk. And needless to say, it wasn't organic, non-dairy Matty milk. The old me would have been in a complete tizzy, almost forgetting who I am, what I'm made of, and the control that I do have over the situation to some extent. But not this time. I actually drafted my notes for this episode on the plane ride back when I realized that this was the first trip that I have ever taken where I wasn't thinking, ah, shit, I fell so behind. This entire week's going to be marked with nothing but hard, 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 back to work, back to clean eating, back to the gym, back to early bedtimes, early wake times. Not to mention, I'm usually constipated. TMI, but true. This trip was so different, you guys. And you must know why. You must know why. I owned it. To be honest, I didn't go in with a plan. I gave myself flexibility, but I went in with guiding principles, a realistic sort of contingency plan, I guess you could say, and certainly realistic expectations. Maybe you're someone who feels like the weekends are their vacation to Watsonville. You do great all week, right? And then the weekend comes and it's an excuse to put the kids first, so you completely forget about what you own. So as a result, each Monday, you're pressing reset and the cycle repeats itself. Or maybe you're someone who has extreme expectations of yourself on trips. So when you get there, you've technically already set yourself up for failure. And despite putting your best foot forward day one, after a day passes, you realize how unrealistic the expectation you had of yourself really was. And the rest of the week is an absolute shit show, right? I know that I've gone on so many vacations or gosh, cruises, right? And you get on the cruise and day one, you're drinking all your water and you're getting all your fiber in and you're saying no to dessert and you pass the ice cream station six times and it's day at sea and you only eat three times instead of revisiting the unlimited food bar seven and you get to the gym and you get 10,000 steps and then like day two comes and you're like, oh. Just kidding. Hence, it takes you 2 weeks once you return home to A, adjust to work, and then B, our lovely phrase here, get back on track. I hear that a lot. So maybe you're not vacationing, but the weekends, maybe they look pretty normal to you, generally speaking, but you simply don't know how to own your stuff when you just go out to eat. So today, that's what we're focusing on. How can you own your journey and stop tripping over yourself and your inability to take extreme ownership of your actions and what's required of you to reach your goals? I hear you. You're sitting in conferences every day, lunch is catered, you're on a 12-hour flight sitting in the middle. Water intake is impossible to get in because you don't want to ask the person next to you to get up so you can use the bathroom, right? You're sharing a hotel with your coworker. The list goes on. Stop. Stop, stop, stop. Stop making excuses here and start typing or writing if you're taking notes today. Before you even get going, let's start with simply getting centered on what matters most to you. So step one here today is a simple question. If you're taking notes, write this down. What do you want? This is an integral first step that many of us gloss over when we're getting ready to head out for a girls' night, a weekend outing, or even a vacation. We're so quick to allow what others might want, whether it's their order, their eating habits or lack thereof, habits pertaining to alcohol, recreational drug use, or even care for their sleep hygiene, to trump our own desires. Likewise, maybe you fall into the opposite trap, right? And you start choosing what skinny Susan chooses to eat, and you find yourself extremely food focused all day because you've neglected your own desires, whether those desires are physiological, right? Your body might need more food or be used to eating more, or simply emotional. So, going into my trip example, I had to gain clarity on what mattered most to me. I wanted to come back feeling like Wednesday when I woke up, I wasn't waking up in quicksand. I didn't want to feel like a slug when I returned to the gym. Certainly didn't want to look down at my breakfast and go, ugh, this. I'm not on vacation anymore, that's for sure. Instead, I wanted to come back and feel like I was right on pace with where I'd left off, energized to see my friends, excited to see my boyfriend, and ready to tackle the week with our team. I knew that a huge part of being able to achieve this for myself was honing in on what I truly wanted. I didn't want to start my day with sugary coffee drinks. I didn't want to skip breakfast and fast until lunch. I didn't want to eat dessert every single night. I didn't want to be sleep deprived. But how many of us go out to a dinner, even, and we don't simply gain clarity around what we want, right? Like, before you go out to dinner, ask yourself, what are you in the mood for? You know, before you look over and you see that your friend's ordering loaded nachos, like, it's okay to want a salad. So my foundation was on gaining clarity on what I wanted. It's as simple as that. The next time that you're getting ready to go out with the girls or head to a pregame, you're going on a family vacation, or even just going into the weekend, go inward before you allow yourself out of the house. What do you truly want? Moving right along, now that you've gained some clarity around what desires you have for yourself, you have to also make those desires tangible. We need to identify what is actually realistic for you to follow through with so that you can ultimately achieve what you've just identified that you want? I may want to come back from my trip at the same weight, same pant size, same degree of strength, so on and so forth. But if I'm heading into my trip expecting to weigh out all of my meals, have control over exactly how much oil goes into my foods, eat at 3 or 4 hour intervals and get my training in on my time, then I've got another thing coming, right? None of us want to be the friend that finds themselves singled out for being too rigid to actually enjoy their time on vacation, or in many cases, simply enjoy themselves on the weekend, right? The weeks are too hard for that. Likewise, I also wanted to be present with my family. For many of you, the weekends are a time to see friends. They're a time to make memories that you otherwise maybe couldn't. Dates are an opportunity to let loose and to get to know someone authentically. And vacations, they're a time for indulgences. Don't forget that. When I reference realism, I want you to first think about the definition of the term, right? Realism is defined as the attitude or practice of accepting a situation as it is and being prepared to deal with it accordingly. And this is really where the notion of you own it truly begins to come into play. I know that most of my friends and my dad and sister on this recent trip could really care less if they skip a meal. They didn't care if they had coffee before breakfast. They also didn't care to have a certain amount of activity every day. They could eat a cookie and call it lunch. In fact, they did. And all of that is okay. Part of this process constitutes having a certain degree of acceptance and understanding for those around you. My dad and my sister, they're not bodybuilders. They're not health and fitness enthusiasts. And that is okay. But I am. And because I desired, remember, we've already spent time identifying what we want and what matters to us, something different, I had to take different actions. But in the context of realism here, I knew that my family wasn't going to budget time into our itinerary for Maddie to get a lift in. They weren't going to stock the fridge with nitrate-free or organic products. They bought a small case of water and would be fine drinking 60 ounces a day. And I was going to need to still find ways to prioritize what mattered most to me. So I got realistic. Going into this trip, thinking I was going to be at the gym 4 to 5 times, unrealistic. Knowing what I was going to eat at the top of every day to be able to perfectly hit my ideal macros, unrealistic. And that list goes on. But instead of thinking about all the things that were unrealistic and throwing in the towel before I even got there, I got realistic. And what was realistic was going to the grocery store and pulling out my own debit card to purchase what I needed to take care of myself. Greek yogurt, cottage cheese, a plethora of berries, egg whites, whole eggs, spinach, decaf coffee, sourdough toast. What was realistic? Getting up before everybody in the morning and practicing 10 minutes of breath work to calm my nervous system. What was realistic was buying half-gallon bottles to carry when we would stop at gas stations. And what was realistic was anchoring into what was important to me when I was at restaurants and choosing what I ate mindfully. I even brought 2 to 3 little glute loops and workout bands in the event that we had a backyard at our Airbnb where I could do little full body circuits if push came to shove. Ironically, on this trip, I wound up getting sufficient movement, so I opted for a week off the gym. But otherwise, I sought out opportunities to keep things as even keel as possible. And I saw it as a game instead of a challenge and chose to try. I didn't give up before I tried. And moving on here to my third point, but probably the most important of all of them, own it. Once you have made a decision to commit to a goal or set out to achieve X, whether it's to hit your protein intake or have a weekend where you don't go absolutely ham and regret it Monday, or simply hit your water intake, own it. I've got a pro tip for you here. You'll know that what you're setting out to achieve on vacation, on the weekend, or out with the girls is realistic when you have accepted what you own and you're armed to take extreme ownership and accountability, and you aren't absolutely dreading it. When I had really internalized why feeling good on my trip was important to me, not only after, but during, in terms of my energy levels and my vitality throughout the day and my stability of my mood and even digestion, I honestly felt good about what was required to get me there. I actually looked forward to going, and I looked forward to doing what I had to do to set out what I wanted to achieve. And I emphasize here, but there's a huge caveat that I gotta let you in on. When you do own things, that doesn't always mean that you're not gonna suffer to some extent. It's not all sunshine and rainbows. We went to Applebee's as a family, and guess what? I had to eat the nastiest coleslaw I have ever had. I had to get plain broccoli and a piece of grilled chicken while my dad bodied this beautiful 800 calorie Mexican burrito bowl. And my sister, oh, she had the most decadent BLT with fries. Now, after the meal was over, that momentous feeling of, am I missing out, exited the chat. I honestly felt great. But for that very brief and fleeting moment, I did question if I really wanted my chicken. And that's normal. But okay, before we get there, I also want to share this other example because it happens. Okay, this is what's realistic. We sat down at this restaurant one day, and after glancing over the menu, truly, truly, I was trying to figure out just about anything that would remotely provide me with some semblance of lasting energy. And I looked up and I said, I think I'll sit this one out, you guys. I'll have my protein bar, my tuna in the car. And of course, I felt terrible. I felt absolutely terrible. And even though I had no expectation that my family was going to get up and allow me to choose another restaurant, they actually did. And we happened upon the best meal that we all agreed we had the entire trip at this cute, quaint little brunch spot down the road. But I share these things not to say that the objective is to make yourself miserable. I want to be very, very clear that at no point during this family vacation that I took was I miserable, but I was inconvenienced. I did have to fight my own, spur of the moment desires. And granted, we were also on a 3 hour time difference. So at times, those desires were physiological. There were times where I was hungrier. I didn't have the luxury of having a ton of micronutrients or, water at my disposal all the time. And so there was times where I was hungry, and that was okay. But I had to remind myself of what I wanted. And at times, I had to stop and take a temperature of those desires to ensure that they still felt in alignment. Conversely, there was a time our family had gone to a nicer restaurant. Honestly, this was probably one of the nicest places we ate the entire trip. I think it was called Stony Brook. Beautiful, beautiful restaurant. It's like very old. They have this incredible escalator that takes you down the hill to the restaurant. It's at a place in a beautiful city in California called Capitola. And we had arrived at dinner a whole hour and a half early. My sister sat up at the bar and she got herself a dirty martini. And although I still had the same desires, I also saw it as a great opportunity to pass an hour and a half and share a drink with my sister. And before, when we'd gone to California, I was too young to drink. And her and I, we really don't get opportunities to bond like that often. And this was an example of me taking a temperature of my desires and my intention to truthfully not drink for the duration of the trip and to just check in and see if that still felt in alignment. And in many cases, the opportunity to connect with others still exists, void of the presence of alcohol. I have had multiples of those opportunities. But I personally felt in this moment, and after a few moments of really thinking about it, that having a single cocktail with my sister felt more in alignment. I knew that I had met my water intake. I'd moved a ton hiking that day. We also did the Redwoods, and I had had a sufficient amount of food. Point here is, in owning what you need to own to achieve what you say you desire to achieve, you're going to have to, most of the time, choose differently than those around you, or this episode probably wouldn't resonate. I have been the girl that has felt like I can't have the physique and also have the fun memories and friends simultaneously. But I was also the girl that was living with a victim mentality that I had to sacrifice my own desires for the sake of gaining approval or not inconveniencing others. In reality, though, I was the one that had to swallow the pill of owning my own stuff and recognizing that in doing so, I was going to be at times inconvenienced. And I was sabotaging myself before I even got to the weekend or got to the vacation or got to the girls' night out because I wasn't being realistic with what it looked like to chase after my desires. And honestly, once I sat with the fruits that those inconveniences would bear for me, I was more than happily inconvenienced. What's even better, I was happier when I would go out and when I was put in situations where I'd throw all of my desires out the window. I was more even keel, and every new week was no longer a total reset for me. And girl, when they ask, because they will, oh, they will, answer with honesty, not spite. Family, friends, partners, coworkers, etc. They only ask because they're curious. Not everyone is out to mock or judge you. Girl, the episode is called Own It for a Reason. Sometimes I think that we treat our health and fitness like our little secret undercover identity that we're afraid to let show. But let's be honest. If you're really hoping to make this a sustainable lifestyle for yourself, it's supposed to be out there for the world to see. I hope that this episode has held space for you to feel a little bit more brave going into your weekend, your upcoming family vacations, and oh, all of the holiday parties that are on the horizon. This message and no message that I share is ever meant to make you feel like this way or my way, which truthfully is ever evolving, is the only way to go about achieving what you hope to achieve. But instead, just to shed some light on the insights that I've gained in my career as a professional bodybuilder and holistic online coach of hundreds of women who have found success in sustainable practices that get them to their goals. If this episode resonated with you, be sure to get this podcast some love and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We release new episodes each and every Saturday. And if you're ready to take these principles and apply them more directly to your life, the link below for one-on-one lifestyle, contest prep, or functional health coaching is down below. I am so grateful to have this platform to share with each and every one of you. Have an incredible weekend wherever you're listening from, and I'll talk to you all next week.